The Jericho Network on Westwood One.
Geico presents sharing versus oversharing. Today, Bridget Griffin shared a video of her daily yoga routine, two self-help articles, and her new blog called Build Your Inner Bridge with Bridge. Girl, your sharing has turned into oversharing. No worries, Bridge. Geico has some info worth sharing with your 7 blog followers, like how you could save money on your car insurance, update your policy, and report a claim just by visiting geico.com. How's that for building your inner bridge? Bridge. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
There's a new book about the Ultimate Warrior out, and it's one that's not only backed by his family and WWE, but the Warrior's widow, Dana Warrior, actually contributed stories and pictures to it. The book is called Ultimate Warrior, A Life Forever, The Legend of a WWE Hero. It's a great look at his life, both inside and outside the ring. Who doesn't love the Ultimate Warrior? And let me tell you this, you're going to love his wife, Dana Warrior, as well. She is on Talk Is Jericho today to talk about the legend that is her late husband. She's speaking candidly, emotionally. There's going to be some tears shed about his shocking death and his truly amazing life. He lived a clean and healthy existence, obsessive about his fitness and diet, as you'll hear Dana talk about. Plus, he was one of the greatest WWE superstars of all time, and he took that very, very seriously. Dana also talks about that. She's amazing guest. It was her first podcast, one of her first interviews ever, I think. You're going to fall in love with Dana Warrior. She is a true professional, and she's really, really cool, and I'm really excited for you to hear all about her today. Glad that I almost want to call her a friend at this point. And I want to tell you about another friend of mine who's also passionate and committed to a healthy lifestyle. That's Diamond Dallas Page. You guys hear me talk about DDP and his DDP yoga all the time. You know I do it. And I know a lot of you guys are on the program as well, too, and you're living a better life as a result. Listen, there's so many people that have posted testimonials and videos. This guy called Eric Thacker. He jumped aboard, and wait to hear what it did for him, okay? Eric started DDP yoga after a trip to the doctor showed him tipping the scales at, get this, 448 pounds. Yeah, that's a lot. That's a big, big man. Eric knew if he didn't do something about his weight and quickly, he was going to die. And fast forward to the 1 month mark on the DDP yoga program, he had lost an astonishing 30 pounds. That's right, 30 pounds in 1 month. What kind of a diet can you go on that's going to help you do that? 2 month mark, he was down 55 pounds. Once again, what diet is going to help you lose 55 pounds in 2 months? I don't know of one, but I know DDP yoga can help you do it. Besides the amazing weight loss numbers, Eric also accomplished something he had never done at that point in his life. He did his first push-up ever. Not a big deal for some of you. For others, you're going to understand just how much that means. That's because of DDP yoga. He stuck to the program, changed his diet, changed his lifestyle, and when he hit his 1 year anniversary of DDP yoga, he had lost, get this, 185 pounds. All right, that's crazy. That's like 40% of his body weight gone from DDP yoga. Eric's life has forever been changed. He reclaimed his life, reclaimed his good times, thanks to DDP and DDP yoga. Once again, that changes lives, man. DDP created his yoga originally for himself and has since helped tens of thousands of people get a better lifestyle, including me. DDP yoga can help you overcome weight loss, help you gain flexibility, and in certain situations help existing conditions or injuries go away. I can tell you that because that's what happened to me. Helped me reclaim my life after having a bulging disc, after having a herniated disc. I could barely walk, and now I have a better lifestyle than I had in years and years and years thanks to DDP yoga. And I'm telling you one thing right now, Eric can tell you the same thing. Congratulations to Eric Thacker. Congratulations to me. Congratulations to all of you because DDP yoga can help you overcome weight loss, gain flexibility, and in certain situations, once again, help those existing conditions or injuries go away. Program can help any age, any size, any fitness level. And right now, DDP is giving Talk Is Jericho listeners, that's all you sexy beasts out there, an amazeballs deal on DDP yoga. Go to ddpyoga.com/Jericho and check it out. What are you waiting for? Get in better shape. Get in the best shape of your life. Go to ddpyoga.com/Jericho and do it today. You got nothing to lose and everything to gain. And I guarantee this will work for you as well.
Talk Is Jericho, baby. Talk Is Jericho.
Welcome Welcome to Talk is Jericho. It is the pod of thunder and rock and roll. The People's Podcast has arrived. The remedy for boredom is here. Let's go for a ride with Dana Warrior, the widow of the late, great Ultimate Warrior, talking about the legacy of her amazing husband. Man, I was obsessed with the Warrior in about 88, 89. I'm sure a lot of you were as well. We're going to talk about some of Warrior's most famous fans with Dana. I mentioned she contributed a bunch of pictures and stories about Warrior's life outside the ring, inside the ring, to the new book, Ultimate Warrior, A Life Forever, The Legend of a WWE Hero. That book is out now. Dana Warrior is here today. And before we get to Dana, I'm going to tell you about my weekend. I had a great weekend going back to Calgary and Edmonton for the WWE live events. Always a blast to work there because there's such a great tradition of wrestling in Calgary and at Edmonton. Plus, I got a lot of good friends there. My cousins live there. Wise Cousin Chad. You've heard Wise Cousin Chad before. Spiwi Da Spiwi lives up there. Lots of cool people. So I flew in. I went to LA and did some podcast work and did some work on some shows up there. You're going to hear all about that upcoming. But then I went to Calgary, flew out, got in, and went over to Wise Cousin Chad's house where we had a listening party for the new Iron Maiden Book of Souls album. Chad is a vinyl file, so he had bought the double album already. We listened to that thing, cranked it up. All wear Iron Maiden t-shirts, me, Chad, what's the good word, Todd, one of the nicest guys in the world, my other cousin, and Dusbiwi. And we put on our Iron Maiden shirts and just listened to Book of Souls in its entirety. Now, kind of funny, like how many people in this day and age in our 40s would have an Iron Maiden listening party. Well, we did, and it was awesome. We got Manny's Pizza, one of our favorite places out in Calgary. Thumbs up to Manny's Pizza. And had some Grey Goose and had a good time. The only thing about it is we always go to Wise Cousin Chad's house, and he's really wise, except for he never gets enough pizza, for one. Always makes him mad. He'll always buy like a large and a medium. And he's kind of selfish, too, because everybody wants pepperoni and beef is my favorite. Or, you know, people like pepperoni. But Chad loves the weird pizza combination of ham and pineapple. Has since we were kids. But the thing is, no one else wants a ham and pineapple pizza. So he'll get a large pepperoni and ground beef pizza and then a medium ham and pineapple, but only he's eating the ham and pineapple. So everybody else gets, eat like two pieces each of this amazing pepperoni and ground beef. And then all that's left is like eight pieces of a ham and pineapple, which nobody wants. And I think WCC, Wise Cousin Chad, does that on purpose so that he has the leftovers to keep in the fridge for later. And then I always say, go buy a large bottle of Grey Goose, and he'll buy like a large one, but not one of the super large ones. So we run out of Grey Goose, run out of pizza, never run out of Iron Maiden. New album, Book of Souls, is amazing. We had a great time. Listened to that a couple times. Listened to Power Slave. Then, of course, as the night just starts to deteriorate, we always get into the Canadian music. Kick-Ass Vices was played. A little Street Heart was played. But just a good time. It's always fun to get back home with the guys and get a chance to listen to some tunes and just rock out. And, you know, it brings back some good times. And I actually did a podcast with WCC, just an intro piece, about 10, 15 minutes. And we talked about Cletus, who, of course, is the band that WCC gave his T-shirt of Cletus to Bruce Dickinson so many years ago outside the radio station. If you listen to the Bruce Dickinson episode, you know that Bruce remembered Cletus and was laughing how he actually wore the shirt. So we're going to tell that story upcoming on Friday with Wise Cousin Chad and I talking about our encounter with Bruce Dickinson and also our encounter with Axl Rose. So that will be on Friday's show. Then I went to Edmonton, worked the show against Kevin Owens, had a great time. I really like working with Owens, and I'm excited to be working with him at Madison Square Garden for Y2J's 25th anniversary, October 3rd. You can watch that match, Jericho versus Owens, on the WWE Network. And it was funny because he comes out to the ring, and we kind of set it up with a little bit of story because it's a cold match because we don't have an angle on television. But he comes out to the ring and talks about how he hates the town and is going to leave. And then I come out, and I just called him. I was like, hey, man, why are you always complaining? Like, why are you such a grumpy cat? Because I looked at his face, and it's like, well, he kind of looks like, you know, grumpy cat. Like, I don't know, looks nothing like him, but it's a funny word to use. And I say, you know, you're such a grumpy cat. And he looks at me, and under his breath, like where he's not talking to the mic, he goes, that's lame. And I talk back to him, like, okay, just wait and see. And I just stand there. I don't say a word. And lo and behold, a grumpy cat chant starts. Yeah. So thanks to the fine people of Edmonton for starting the first ever Grumpy Cat chant. Grumpy Cat! Grumpy Cat! And I'm like, this is great. We've got something here. So the next night in Calgary, same thing, you know. Why do you have to be such a grumpy cat? Just wait. Here it comes again. Grumpy Cat. And someone must have been in Edmonton as well that came to the Calgary show because they had a big sign that said Grumpy Cat on the sign, which is great. So another Grumpy Cat chant starts. And then it starts again during the match. And Owens has the best line ever. He's like, I am not a cat. I am a man. And yeah, the hilariousness that ensues at a live event. So Grumpy Cat, there you go. So if you ever see an Owens versus Jericho match, if you're going to Madison Square Garden, please start a Grumpy Cat chant. If I lead one on, if I start one, join in, please. And so two really cool matches with Owens in Calgary and Edmonton, and always too when we go there. I mean, it's such a wrestling oriented city. Always some cool guys backstage. In Edmonton, Phil LaFon came backstage. If you know Phil, he was in the WWE in the 90s with Doug Furness, his old partner who has since passed away. Great to see Phil. He was also known as Dan Crawford if you watched All Japan Pro Wrestling. I used to hang out with him in the 90s, and when I did, he was nuts. I mean, weren't we all? Huh. But he was completely crazy, into a lot of stuff, bad stuff, alcohol and drugs. And he has since cleaned himself up to where he is now an alcohol and drug counselor, which is great. He works with teens, young people in their early 20s, etc., who have had issues with drugs and alcohol. And Phil is now a counselor to help them change their life around the same way that he changed his life around, which is so cool. So props to Phil. Always a good guy to see. Dean Malenko and Phil were great friends from All Japan, so Dean kind of had him come backstage, and it was great to see him. Also great to see David Benoit, son of Chris Benoit. Anytime I go to Edmonton, David comes around to the show, and he likes hanging around backstage and seeing everybody. And we went out and had a couple of drinks afterwards, which is always cool. And David's doing good. You know, it's he's been through a lot in his years. I think he's 23 or 24 years old. So as you can imagine, all the stuff that he's had to deal with over his life, but is a really cool guy, very quiet. And also, it's really interesting to talk to him because he has the same kind of cadence as his father, same kind of smirk as his dad. It is really, really weird, you know. And you know, because like I said, keep in mind, notwithstanding the last weekend of Chris's life, very close friend of mine, very good friend. And, you know, to see myself talking to David, who is so much like Chris, it's really, really weird. And Dean said the same thing. So always good to see David, always welcome backstage at the shows. And he's working hard and doing good and making some inroads in his life. So always cool to see him. It was funny actually, because David was talking to Curtis Axel, Joe Henning, and he got David Benoit and Joe Henning talking to each other. And I'm kind of in the middle laughing, and I'm like, wow. It wasn't too long ago that it was I was standing there with their dads, with Kurt Hennig and Chris Benoit and myself. So I'm like in this weird area where I knew the dads and now I know the sons. So I guess I'm now officially like in the middle. I'm not a young guy anymore. What? What happened? What do you mean I'm not a young guy? 25th anniversary? That's not much, is it? Well, apparently it is, because now I'm friends with my friends' sons. So there you go. That happened with Alberto Del Rio too. I used to work with his dad, Dos Caras, in Mexico and Japan in the early 90s. And then when Alberto was in the WWE, I worked with him quite a bit too. So, yeah. All right. Calgary, always good to see Lance Storm. Great guy. He's going to be there in Madison Square Garden at the Jericho 25th anniversary. And then, of course, I saw Brett the Hitman Hart, another guy who was really cool to see. I didn't talk to Brett for a podcast, but I did get another Hart for the show, which will be running at some point. So anyways, had a great time after the show in Calgary. Went out with my buddy JR and Wise Cousin Chad and Despue and Tyler, another dude. And we went and hung out and had a couple more drinks. Just had a good time. It's always fun. Anytime I see a Calgary-Edmonton loop, I want to go hang out with my friends and have some good guy time, some good rock and roll time, some family time with my cousins. So anyways, thank you so much to everybody who came and saw us. In Edmonton, crowd was crazy in Edmonton. Actually, the crowd was actually really good in Calgary too, better than the last time we were there, which I was pointed out to me was Super Bowl Sunday. So if it was a smaller crowd and not as vociferous, I understand the reason why. But it was a great, great time. I love doing the live events. Thank you, Edmonton. Thank you, Calgary. And thanks to all of you for listening to this show, and all of you also who are enjoying the NFL. If you didn't get to a game last weekend for week one, well, there were some real stinker games. There were some great games. But this weekend is week two. And if you want to go check out some games, we got the Seahawks and the Packers at historic Lambeau, which is home of Jeff Rouse, a good buddy of mine, bass player in Fozzy for a while. But the Seahawks at the Packers, Lambeau Field. Jeff is a big Seahawks fan. I didn't say that he lives in Green Bay. He lives in Seattle. So, anyways, Seahawks and Packers at Lambeau Field. You got the Bucks, my suffering Bucks, playing the Saints at the infamous Superdome in New Orleans. Or if you're in New York, you can check out the Giants, Eddie Trunk's team, taking on the Atlanta Falcons. A lot of huge games coming up in week two. And if you don't have tickets yet, you got to go. And I can help you do that, because if you download the free SeatGeek app today and use my promo code ChrisJ, you'll get a $20 rebate off your first SeatGeek Battle Choose. All right, I got SeatGeek on my phone. It's a great app. SeatGeek does a ton of things that other ticketing sites don't. For instance, SeatGeek pulls in ticket options from hundreds of online ticket sellers to create a one-stop shop for tickets. That way, you see virtually every ticket option available for that game all in one page. No need to check any other sites. And if you use my promo code ChrisJ in the SeatGeek app and you get that $20 rebate off your first SeatGeek purchase, you'll get something else SeatGeek does. They got a great feature called Deal Score, ranks every ticket on the market with a 1 to 100 value score and shows you the best deals on a color-coded interactive map of whatever stadium you're trying to buy tickets for, okay? That color-coded map lets you easily identify the best ticket values in the building in one glance, okay? So you know if you're getting a good deal on the seats, maybe paying too high of a face value. Guess what? SeatGeek app, you don't have to worry about ever getting ripped off. And finally, check this out with the SeatGeek app. You can store your credit card info right in the app and then complete your paddle choose in just two quick taps. No faster way to buy tickets. So download the free SeatGeek app today. Then use my promo code ChrisJ and get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Once again, go to SeatGeek app, enter the promo code ChrisJ in the app. Then SeatGeek will send you the $20 once you made your first SeatGeek purchase. Get the best seats in the house by downloading the SeatGeek app. It's free. You'll get the best tickets, the best seats, and have the time of your life, and plus you're going to save $20 when you use the promo code ChrisJ. Go do that today.
You never know what will come up on the Big Podcast with Shaq.
So, Detective Shaq, would you like to get on the case of the Portland pooper?
You know, do like a little diagram. Where'd he go to this day? Where'd he go to that day? Connect the poop dots.
Are there Mexican joints?
The hours of the poop, yes.
Are there Mexican joints in the area?
Yes. You would have to do a John Kincaid smell analysis. Tell me what he ate for lunch and breakfast.
That wouldn't hold up in court.
He had
eggs.
He had some pancakes.
Oh, jeez.
He had an omelet.
Oh, man.
He also had some tomato juice.
The Big Podcast with Shaq.
That's me. It's up right now at podcast1.com.
All right, on the line, I have keeping the legacy of the Ultimate Warrior alive. It's his wife, Dana Warrior. And Dana, it's so nice to have you. We've never even met before.
No, we haven't. And I am just so honored to be on your show. You do a great show. You do such a great job. And thank you so much for having me, Chris.
Oh, I'm excited. Yeah, I kind of got the word that you were looking to do this. And I was like, oh, that's so cool. And I appreciate the fact that you've been listening to my show. You just never know who's listening. So thank you.
I know, that's kind of fun. And the girls and I also love you on Tough Enough. You're so great on that. You and Renee are so much fun. And so we watch you on that as well. So I've had my eye on you for a while. You do a great job out there.
You're really good for my ego already. So
well, good.
I
aim to please.
I wish every guest would start the show the exact same way you just did. Now, I wanted to ask you right off the bat. I love the fact, and this is part of kind of the uniqueness of the Warrior, that your name, and this is for people who don't know, your name actually is Dana Warrior.
It is, yeah.
Like that. That was the Warrior changed his name to actually Warrior, right?
He did. He I always sort of imagined I'd have four boys. I'm a huge baseball fan. I thought like the jersey Warrior on the back. That's pretty killer. So I was excited, and it really does mean a lot for us as a family. I ended up having amazing girls, and they're Warrior girls, and they deserve to have it on the back of their jerseys. It's a very, very cool thing. So I am Dana Warrior. Whenever someone refers to me as something else, I kind of look at them and I'm like, we obviously don't know one another. So yeah, there's a big story. There's a big story there.
So Warrior actually changed his name on his birth certificate to Warrior,
yeah,
so that he would own the trademark to it, or would own that name.
Well, yeah, I mean there was legal matters behind it as well. But really, I think that if you know him at all, and I think that you do, there's a whole philosophy that he lived by, truly a creed. And it meant more to him than just, you know, just a character he portrayed. That was a character, obviously. There was the man who came home to our home every single day. But he did become Warrior, and that is what the girls and I have carried on. That's their birthright. That's who they were from the moment that they were born. They were little Warrior girls, and, you know, losing him was awful and terrible, but we will carry it forward. And besides his legion of fans who carry the mantle every single day better than even I.
Well, tell me about that. You mentioned that it was his creed and his philosophy. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, I think that you could see it in the ring. I think that you could see it, and I want to talk to you about the promos that you used to cut as Ultimate Warrior, because they would make him laugh. I mean, even he had a pretty good sense of humor about all of that, and you're pretty fantastic about that. But he in the what he was saying to people, even though I know that many critics and many naysayers would say it was gibberish, it was this, people gleaned something from the philosophy that he had, from what he was saying when he was in that persona. And when he left the ring and he decided to do other things in his life, he developed an entire philosophy, which, you know, he called his Warrior philosophy, his creed, his belief system, with intensity, going after life, living it to the fullest, always, you know, doing everything to the nth degree, never, ever, ever settling for good enough. It had to be awesome. It had to be ultimate. And really, that was how he lived every single second of his life. And I was lucky enough to be in the passenger seat for that. Lucky enough, I say sometimes. Sometimes it was a lot of intensity. But you know what? I kept up. I'm a lot quieter, but I really admired it in him. I admired it so very, very much. And he really did live and breathe and bleed the belief in integrity and doing what was right and doing what was best. And when you made a mistake, that you could correct that error and go back and do it better the next time. And truly, I mean, it's been something that my children have seen from the time that they were born. It's a pretty cool thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel honored to have been, you know, his partner in crime.
When you're talking about the intensity of Ultimate Warrior, and that's if I was playing, you know, word association,
yeah,
that would be one of the words that I would use. Was he a very intense? You talk about your girls, and I know he's very close to his children. When he was taking them to school, or when he was helping with their homework, was there like was it still the Warrior? Like 2 + 2 = 4.
He drive the shit out of the minivan. Yeah. You know what? I mean, truly, like, yeah. It was there, but he also, like, tucked them in bed every night and read them their stories. And, like, he was the one who did that. So was there an intensity? Yeah. Like, all the time? No. Like, mm-hmm. there was downtime, too. And he would sit. Oh, gosh, Chris, I wish I could show you a picture of it, because it's, like, the coolest thing. He would sit in this rocking chair and put the girls to bed and, like, tuck them all in and then get out the book. And I'd hear his voice. So you can imagine, like, the Ultimate Warrior's voice reading bedtime stories. And I would, like, stand in the hallway sometimes just so I could hear it, because it was so beautiful. But my kids weren't raised by just, like, a mellow dude. They mm-hmm. were raised by somebody who had real high expectations for them, but loved them so fiercely. So, was there intensity? Yes, Indiana won this award this one time, you know, and we're in this little town. We live rurally, and we're in this little town, and so you can imagine the Ultimate Warrior, like, being in the elementary school. Indy wins this state science award, and all of a sudden, Indiana, like, I mean, nobody else did that. So, yeah, having the ultimate warrior as your dad was sometimes, you know, eye-catching. I guess that's what I'll say.
So what do the teachers call him when he goes for parent-teacher meetings? Is it first name ultimate, last name warrior?
You got it. That's what we demand, actually.
Really? That was it?
No, Mr. Boy, but he would explain to them, and it wasn't weird. I don't know. I guess it wasn't weird to me, and it wasn't weird to any of the teachers, because he was so available and so, like, he interfaced with everybody at the school, and I've always been that way, too. I mean, I was the room mom. I baked the cookies. I baked the cupcakes. I love that stuff. So we were really just immersed within our community, and you know this, like, wherever it is you live, like, at Starbucks, they don't really carry your Chris Jericho anymore. Like, they're just
right.
Like, okay, here's your drink. Yeah. After a little while, that wears off, and you're just, you know, the one who yelled out at the science award really loud.
I've heard that before, like, even, like, Paul McCartney, when he's home in Liverpool, it's like, you know, McCartney's at the grocery store again. Hey, Paul.
Yeah, hey,
you
Paul.
Know, who cares, right? He's just another guy living in the city.
Now, when my husband was so sweet like that too. Like he knew everybody's name. Like, that's one of the things. Manners is an important thing. And, like, you go through the grocery store. We've lived here for a long time. We know the cashier's name. We know, and he knew. Hey Pat, you know, there's this one woman that we just loved that's at our Albertsons. And you know, hey Pat, how's it going? How are the kids? And he was a very personable guy, and he cared about, you know, people within our community, because they took good care of us. And once everything happened, boy, everyone really clung tightly to us, and they adored him. They adored him, and he adored them. So it's, you know, just like you said about Paul McCartney, you live a life like that's a public persona in the ring, in front of the camera. But when you come away from that, you are who you are, and who he was pretty terrific.
When did you guys get together? In the late 90s at some point?
Yeah, I had just I had gone to Arizona State University, and in the paper, you know, I did not follow wrestling. Like I said, I was a huge Oakland A's fan. I was a huge baseball girl. I love sports. I love athletics. I thought it was really cool, and I had heard of him before because my brother went to SMU in Dallas, and he had actually seen my future husband at the gym. I was back in high school, and he called home, and he's describing, you know, oh, my God, you should have seen this guy at the gym. He's huge, and he's throwing weights around. And I remember saying, who? And he said, the Ultimate Warrior. And I was like, who's that? And, you know, I was
a dumb name.
and he said, oh, my God, he's a monster. He's going on and on about him. And I said, well, you stay away from him. He sounds dangerous. So I ended up marrying him. But
yeah, right. There you go.
Because that sounded like a really good idea to me. But I went to Arizona State. And later on, I saw in the paper that he was opening a gym. And I was into fitness. I was actually competing in fitness competitions, and that was sort of the direction after school that I wanted to go in. And I thought, oh, that's a cool new gym. I'm just going to graduate from ASU, and before I get into real life, maybe I'll go and direct his aerobic program. I'm 22 years old, you know. This is a world-class what do I know? But I think, oh, yeah. So I cruise over there. I'm in my little red and white striped dress, I remember, because this is the story he always would tell. And I walk through the doors, and of Warriors Gym, and that place was awesome. I mean, it was cool, and it was like time stood still. I mean, this is so corny, but and I see him. He's behind a counter, and I mean, he's huge. He's huge, and I'm just this little thing. And I just walked right through those doors and walked right up to him and said, "I need to direct your aerobic program." And he looked at me, and he got this big smile on his face, and he said, "You need to marry me." And I looked at him, and here he is just towering over me. And I said, "I won't even date you." And he laughed so hard and so loud. And that was when the chase was on, because I had no interest. Like, no, thank you. I know what athletes are all about. No, thank you. And I did work there, and ended up, obviously, I ended up lying, and I dated him eventually. But I gave him a chase.
Once you start kind of, you know, looking into more, like, if you start dating this guy, and did you start kind of understanding just how much of a legacy and how much of an impact he had in the wrestling world as the Ultimate Warrior?
I did, because I started... I like I said, I didn't know anything about wrestling, but now I love it. I love the business. I love you guys. I love the girls that are in it. I love these NXT girls that are coming up right now. I love the business. And it's so funny, having no background in it at all, when I did start looking into it, I was like, these people are, they're freaking amazing. I mean, the athleticism, the acting, the skill, the total devotion to your trade. So when I went back and I would, you know, this was back, like, I don't, when did CD, like, DVDs and stuff? I think there was tapes that I watched, you know, and putting in these shows and the storylines and the, oh my gosh, these guys were incredible. And this is Macho Man. This is, you know, this is this entire era of, it kind of is a golden age of what they did with the costumes and the pageantry and, Undertaker, you know, just incredible matches that he did. And Andre the Giant. Yeah. I got so into it. I was so interested and he was like, oh God, like, I was so glad you didn't know anything about me. I'm like, well, I do now.
Well, that's the thing, like, as a longtime wrestling fan, especially when I was a teenager in the 80s.
Yeah.
So I was a big WWF fan. And then when Warrior first came on the scene, I think the reason why I thought he was so cool is, one, so much energy, intensity. He had really long, cool hair. Like,
yes.
I was a big rock and roll guy.
Yeah.
And all wrestlers at that time basically had mullets.
Yeah.
But Warrior had, like, the real cool hair.
Yeah.
And the intensity and the fire and the excitement. Like, we had never seen anything like that before. And even though it was a very short period of time that he was in the WWE, it might have been 5 years or 6 years, yeah, whatever it was, he left an impression forever for anybody that ever saw him wrestle. And it didn't matter if it's 2015 or 1988. I still feel the same way when I think of the Ultimate Warrior.
Oh, Chris, that's so nice of you. I mean, that is just like, that gives me chills. That's so cool. And so many, because I'm the same age as you, and I think you and I have similar musical tastes. But guys in my era were so drawn to him. And I think it's because it's like this comic book character that really, like, ripped off the pages and came to life. And,
right.
And did bring so much color and coolness. And I know you had the long hair for a long time too. The blonde long hair, and you pulled part of it back. Like, you know,
yeah,
right?
I did, right.
Yeah. That's so cool. Like, I just think that's awesome. I think it speaks so much for that era. And you know, like, the 80s was awesome. It was a cool time.
It was a fun time, yeah.
You know, I think I'm so appreciative of you saying that, and it's so fun when I hear you guys talk about him like that. You know, I think that's really.
Have you ever heard? You mentioned we have same musical taste, so obviously you're an Ozzy fan.
Yeah, and yes.
Do you know? So Ozzy's guitar player Zakk Wylde played on No More Tears and Mama I'm Coming Home and that era of Ozzy. I don't know if you know this or not, but Zakk is obsessed with the Ultimate Warrior.
I had no idea.
To the point where we've had in-depth discussions about James Helwig. He loves talking about James Helwig.
Yeah. Oh,
and,
my God, I had no idea.
Oh, dude, I'm telling you what. He to the point of, well, can tell you anything about the Warrior, Ultimate Warrior, from his ascension to even, like, when he came back and wrestled once or twice in the late 90s with short hair, how angry he was at that. It's like, the Warrior needs hair. He should have wore a wig. It's the Warrior. So, yeah, there's people that you don't even know that were influenced. To this day by your husband.
Oh, that makes me, like, so happy. It makes me want to cry at the same time, because that is just, that is so cool. That is something I didn't know. I'm so glad you told me that. That is so cool.
Oh, yeah. Zach's a huge fan.
Oh,
so,
wow.
But here's another thing, too. So my interactions with Warrior were very, very minimal. I only met him a couple times when he came back to do the short little run in WCW.
Okay.
But my point is, I'll never forget this. He came, you're backstage, and I wasn't really much at the time, and he came up to me, or maybe I went up and introduced myself to him, but I'll never forget. He goes, Chris, I'm a big fan of your work. You're doing a great job. Keep it up. And
yeah.
I just, like, I was a nobody. And
no.
He didn't have to say that. And I'll never forget, like, how cool that was. Like, the Warrior knows who I am. He's a fan of my work. Like,
yeah.
That quick 3-second conversation will always be in my head.
Well, can I tell you something a little further than that, Chris? Because he really did, like, he thought you were so funny. Like, he thought you were so funny. He thought you were so good on the mic. And it's weird because there's certain people or certain stories he would tell me, and so he sincerely meant that about you. I really thought you were just something, had spark, you know, had that it factor. And obviously, you know, it's funny you say I was nothing, because you're never nothing. Like, you're just on the precipice of starting something great, and that's what you were doing, and you made, like, an incredible career for yourself. but he thought you were really talented and really funny. And I don't know, did you dress up like him sometime for Halloween, or was that somebody else?
No, that was somebody else. Okay. Yeah, I never went that far with it.
You would have lost all street cred with your buddy. Yeah. Or you dress up like him, maybe. Who knows?
But yeah. I mean, and then the other thing I remember was watching him, and you probably would know the reasons for this, and I've told this story many times, and maybe he did it with you too. I'm not sure. But I remember watching him at the catering table, and there's always a big selection of like desserts and yeah. sweets and stuff. And he grabbed a chocolate chip cookie and he crunched it up and crumbled it up into his hand, and he smelled it, and then he threw it away.
Yep.
What the hell was that?
Okay, can I just tell you, I'm a baker and a cook.
Right.
I'm so pleased. Let me tell all the wonderful people who were at catering that he ruined their cookies. I apologize. And don't, you know, I would make him this, like, I have this famous layer cake. It's this awesome chocolate cake. And it would be his birthday, and I would make it every single year, because the rest of us are normal in this family. Like, we actually eat the food. We don't crumble it in our little paws and throw it away.
Right.
And he would eat one tiny little slice and, like, a tablespoon of this coffee ice cream, gross. But anyway, that would be like his birthday treat to himself once a year. That man is so disciplined. I don't understand it. But that was how he went through life. And I have to tell you, like, my vice is sweets, like not cookies, it's more candy, like little kid candy, kind of gummy bears and gummy worms and Swedish fish and that stuff.
Right.
And so I would actually have to hide it in the house. He would call it my stash, like I was like some addict of some sort. But I would go out and I would like get my little gummy bears and hide it away. And he, like a bloodhound, would find it and be like, "I found your stash, Dana." I'm like, "Oh, like spoiled again." You could not have any junk in this house. So yeah, and that was legit. You saw it and it was true, and it was his entire life, except on his birthday on June 16th. I could make that cake and he'd have a sliver with a tablespoon of ice cream.
So what's the smelling? That's how he's having dessert, by just smelling the fragrance of it?
I think so. I mean, I think that's like, boy, that's a diet play. I'm going to start marketing that.
I mean, yeah, talk about the ultimate willpower, right?
You and I, let's do like that'll be let's do some kind of infomercial where that's our gimmick.
Ultimate warrior willpower. Yeah, that's just smelling the food.
It. You know what? I own the trailer. After we're done here, let's discuss that.
For sure. We'll put together a business plan. we'll take it to Vince.
And speaking of business ideas and running businesses, if you run your own business, then you know the frustration of creating invoices and trying to stay on top of that paperwork. I have to do an invoice every couple weeks, and it drives me crazy. I don't even know what I'm doing. I just try and make it up as I go along. I spent many nights and weekends just trying to stay on top of it all. Listen, you have the same problem? You need to stop wasting hours every week on something you can do in just minutes with Invoice2Go. Listen, Invoice2Go, it's mobile. The app really makes it easy to send invoices on the go using your smartphone, tablet, or computer, and it's fast. Once you download Invoice2Go from the App Store, you can send your first invoice in less than 2 minutes. It's really that easy and that fast. And you can invoice customers right on the spot as soon as you finish a job. You can also customize Invoice2Go. You can choose one of the professionally designed templates or customize one to fit your business. And Invoice2Go is organized, keeps track of your cash flow automatically, so you'll always know who's paid and still who owes you money. Invoice2Go is free to try, which I'm going to try. I need this app. Like I said, I have to do an invoice monthly, and it drives me crazy. I want to give it a try. I'm going to be able to create my first 3 invoices absolutely free. That sounds like a great deal, but listen, you want to give this a try? I'm going to sweeten the deal for you, because I'm sure you'll love Invoice2Go. Once you give it a try for a limited time, you'll get 50% off Invoice2Go for an entire year. Half off for the whole year? Are you kidding me? No, man. Shut your mouth. I'm telling you the truth. Get that amazing deal. Use my promo code Y2J. That's Y2J, and you'll get Invoice2Go for as little as $9.99 a year. Take advantage of this great deal. Download Invoice2Go from the App Store for your phone, iPad, or Android device, and then use the promo code Y2J. Go give that a try. I'm going to try it later on today. I want you to do the same. All right, let's get back with Dana Warrior. Let's talk about Warrior. Talking about Vince McMahon and the WWE, kind of in the 2000s, when Warrior was finished kind of wrestling, there was
And I know there was a lot of animosity between the company and between Warrior.
Sure.
Even to the point of the DVD, the self-destruction of the Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah.
And I'm on that DVD.
I know you are.
Yeah. And I remember, I don't remember them saying, like, you have to trash the Warrior. But I remember them saying, like, they were doing this thing where they were like, there was a big vengeance. They wanted to do one on Brett. They did one on Warrior. I can't remember if they're going to do one on Savage as well. Like, anybody who had kind of animosity, they wanted to do kind of these semi-smear campaigns against them. So what was Warrior's reaction when that DVD came out?
It broke his heart. I'm not going to lie. Like, it broke his heart. That was, and you know, I think he said that someplace, and I'm so glad that he did, because then I feel like I don't have to protect, you know, some, like,
field.
He said, like, it hurt his feelings. Like, it really did. And I've said this, and I actually, you know, I've said it publicly, and so I don't feel that I'm saying anything that I shouldn't. Like, it broke a piece of him that I think I was able to repair a lot of things in his life. I was never able to fix, because I think it was such a categorical attack on who he was as a human being. And, like, that wasn't nice. Like, that wasn't nice. And was my husband perfect? Hell no. And I'm not going to sit here and recreate. I lived with the guy. I know he wasn't perfect. But you know what? His core was so good. Mm-hmm. And none of us. Like, Chris, would you want to be caught on your worst day when you behave badly and have that be, like, what everyone wants to pretend is who you are? No. And me neither. Like, and my kids, when my kids misbehave, I'm going to be like, boy, you know, like, forevermore, Indian Natty, that's it. Mommy's going to remember, you know, this day.
Yeah, never, right, yeah.
No, like, we all have our moments where we aren't our best, but you just hope that in your life that you have more moments that are awesome, and I believe that my husband did. I believe that. So, you know what, there was a lot of animosity. There was a lot of anger, and the truth is, the company that, like, WWE had the power to do something like that. They had the money and the manpower, and
right, they own the footage of all this stuff that they're showing, right?
Yeah, so they had the power to do that. Do I wish they hadn't? I sure do. Like, it broke his heart. Do I think that they would ever do something like that again? No, I don't. And, like, so all of that animosity, all of the conflicts, like, I'm a writer, so I think this is, like, a story that was told, and that was chapters in the story, but there's a whole arc, and, like, that was the conflict. That was the That was the, we're going to, you know, come to blows, we're going to have litigation, we're going to have fights, we're going to have these epic blowouts, and they did. But thankfully, like, that was chapter 13, and we moved so far past that, and now, you know, beyond the conflict came the resolution and the reconciliation, and I, for me, I feel like he had ultimate vindication and victory for everybody at the end. So, yeah, that stuff all existed. Yeah, do I like it? No. Like, would I like to punch somebody in the nose? Probably. Like, but
it was really much like it was almost like a Michael Moore documentary where it showed the one side of the story, but never the other side. So, did Warrior ever find out the reason why? I mean, were him and Vince at really bad odds at that point in time?
I think that they had, like, that real love-hate between them at the time where there's, like, you know, you went off the reservation and I'm more powerful. And, you know, there's this, I don't know. It's so strange because I don't know the answer to it, but I do know that whatever that was, the DVD that came out afterwards that we completed in collaboration, I feel like tells a much rounder story, because it's not all glossy and perfect and rosy. It tells a real rounded story, and I feel like being permitted to do that and completing the story even after he passed away was the way to remedy that other DVD.
Well,
and I feel like that happened for me in my own spirit, because otherwise, like, there's a Shakespeare, you know, quote that says, I am tiny, but, you know, like, though she be but little, she is fierce. And that's me. Like, I'm tiny, but I'm tough. And I think I would have had to, like, go out around swinging a baseball bat for a while if something like that hadn't happened. But I really do feel like at the end of it all, like I said, the story was resolved, and that DVD was set right by the one that they did at the end that told the more round story. Like you were saying, the Michael Moore, it wasn't. It was a much fairer story.
Yeah, but the first one was very unfair. And like I said, it was meant to be a smear piece. It was.
Yeah.
Caused the issues, probably deepened the chasm. between Vince and Warrior. But tell us the road that kind of led to the reconciliation of Warrior and the WWE, because now the Warrior has the place that he deserves in WWE history and in the legacy of being one of the greats, one of the absolute tippity top greats. So how did we get to that point after all of this animosity, you know, in over 15 years or whatever it was?
Yeah, well, thank you for saying that, Chris. That's so coming from you, like that means a lot. So thank you for saying that. First of all, I think there was a lot of years like of kind of working at this and little feelers going out, little like, you know, putting your toe in the pond. Come on, this is where you belong. Mm-hmm. And we have my husband, a business manager, Steve Wilton, who works still with me to preserve the legacy. He would always tell Warrior, you need to be back in the WWE. That's where you belong. That's your home. He was the best advocate for getting Warrior to come, you know, come back and meet with Vince and have this reconciliation. But my husband was really, like I said, very hurt by that DVD. And when he was asked to come and be a part of Hall of Fame, and I might be a little out of order on some of this stuff, because I was the CEO of Casa de Warrior. You know, I was running our life doing this stuff. But there was often, like, gestures about Hall of Fame, or there was, you know, come and be a part of it. And he would say, if I'm so self-destructive in the face of all these other guys who actually did destruct, because he's conducting a life that was really outside the ring, really very normal and not self-destructive. I mean, we had a great life mm-hmm. together. And it was, you know, maybe a traditional, maybe not on the road running all the time, but it was a beautiful, beautiful life that we had. And so he was very confused by that and very hurt. And I think it was very gun-shy. Like, why would I go back to a place that said so many horrible things about me? But Steve, and then I don't know exactly how it happened that Triple H came into the picture. But that bridge, I feel like, was built in big part by Paul. Mm-hmm. I do. Between Vince and my husband, and then Paul just kind of remedying the hurt and the trust issues that had to go on. But it took a couple years, Chris. And like I said, timeline might be 2 or 3 years before they were really kind of in talks about, come on, this is where you belong. This is all that stuff. We'll remedy. We'll make it better. We'll come on, come home. And mm-hmm. I think that there was always a hole in my husband's heart. And I said this to both Paul and Vince right after we lost him, was like, there was a hole in his heart that was never going to be filled until he did go home to WWE. And mm-hmm. and I guess, I mean, when we talk about a story arc, or we talk about destiny, like my husband did so often, and you know what, critics can roll their eyes and do whatever and be naysayers, that's fine. If you want to be snarky and nasty, that's fine with me. I'm a big girl, I can handle it. I believe in it. I believe that was, like, he was always meant to go home and take his rightful place, and I don't think he could have rested had he not. So I don't know if I've answered that really as articulately as I wish I could for you, but I think I think Paul reached out a hand, and I think that Paul kept reaching out the hand and reaching out the hand and reaching out the hand until finally my husband couldn't deny that he wanted to reach back.
Well, there's a real kind of a pattern with this with Paul Triple H doing that, because, you know, the old ways. And, you know, some of that animosity runs deep, and it was there with Vince and Bruno Sammartino, and it was there with Vince and Bret Hart, and it was there with Vince and Warrior. And I think Paul kind of coming into play, he can be the good cop in the face of Vince's bad cop and kind of mend some of those fences, because he's done a great job of bringing home pretty much everybody that was on the outside looking in, including Randy Savage, even though he passed away years earlier, but with the Poffo family. And also, too, not only do the families and the guys deserve it, but the fans as well.
I agree. I mean, I agree so much. And my husband's fans are so incredibly loyal and, like, protective of him. And I'm sure that you guys find that with your fans. Each person has their fan base. I'm going to go out on a limb and let everybody throw tomatoes at me. But I think my husband's fans are, like, the greatest people in the whole wide world, because they would not let up. I mean, he was out of the ring for years and years and years, and they still wouldn't let it go that's where he needed to be. And, I mean, people fade into obscurity. My husband did not. And that was propelled on his own volition. And what we were talking about earlier, his philosophy. And people would write, and they still write me, and I read all of it. Like, I believe in, because he took such good care of his fans and taking care of my husband's fans as well. And they would say, like, I love the man behind the mask when I found out who he was even more than I love the character in the ring. And, I mean, my gosh, talk about a legacy. That's pretty darn cool.
Well, and yeah, and like I said earlier, and I'm not great with dates and numbers either, but to me, I think maybe 91 or 92 or so, he left the WWE. He might have come back once or twice for brief periods, but you're talking about a guy who still had this legendary legacy from a very short period of time, from decades ago, but people never forgot that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's something else. I mean, it really is something that you, I don't know that there's a comparison, really. Like, I don't.
Not in this business.
No.
It's almost like maybe, like Guns N' Roses in music,
yeah.
You know, from 87 to 91, the biggest
yeah.
band in the world, and then have been
yeah.
gone since, but people can't stop talking about wanting to see them again.
No, it's true. And you know what? Maddie, who's 12 years old, has a Guns N' Roses shirt, and she's like, oh, I want this shirt. And I'm like, well, that's like, would be my shirt. She's like, no. I'm like, have you ever, name one song. She's like, I don't know, but I just like this band. She's like, mommy's going to play you, go get on mommy's iPad, and like, let's listen to some Guns N' Roses, and then I'll buy you the t-shirt so you have some cred. But
not, you know, all the songs, because there's some bad words.
I know. But my children, like, I won't, someday I'll tell you the story. I won't tell it when we're being recorded, but I'll tell you the story about some choice words that my children learned at very young ages with my husband. So,
I'm sure,
yeah.
Right? So do you, when was the first meeting then between Vince himself and Warrior when all this reconciliation happened?
I don't know exactly the dates, but I do know the bridge that happened, and I remember my husband coming home from it and being so happy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so incredible. Because, you know, like, when we say good cop, bad cop, it's sort of like, I can't even go completely along with that, because it's sort of like your dad instead. It's like your dad and then your big brother.
Good,
like,
point, yeah.
You know, because it's like, we would be in the middle of the biggest fights with WWE. And I have to tell you, like, that was scary for me, because I was young. I was mm-hmm. young, and my husband's 12 and a half years older than me. And we are in these battles with this corporation. I have to go sit in depositions. I have to go,
wow.
I'm a kid. You know, I learned so much. I mean, I learned so much of how to conduct yourself, but still it was a scary thing. But we would, like, then we'd crawl in bed at night, and he'd just, like, he'd be like, I miss Vince. I'm like, I'm going to kill you, because here I am sitting in this scary deposition with these attorneys and blah, blah, blah. But he's like, I miss him. Yeah, man, I really do. I just miss him. I wish I could tell him such and such, or this happened. And I told this on the DVD, like, when our first, you know, child is born, and it's just like this incredible moment. And we're sitting there afterwards, and he looks over at me, and he's like, God, I wish I could call Vince. So as much as, like, bad cop, yeah, I get, but that Vince has to do that. Like, he is running, he's got a lot on his shoulders. And
oh, sure.
At my age now, I get it so much better than I did at the age where we're fighting with him in a way, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I will, so, you know, getting back to it all, no matter how mad my husband ever was with Vince, no matter how much it broke his heart with the DVD, no matter what else, he always had such a respect for him, like a genuine love. So when he saw him again, when they would see each other or get on the phone, I mean, like, you'd hear the big old, I don't know if you've ever been around my husband when he laughs, but it's like it's music. It's huge. It's laugh. It fills the room. And they'd get on the phone, or they'd get together and just laugh, the best laugh. And when he saw him, my husband told me, like, that they just hugged, like, for a long time. And then he and Paul and Vince all sat down, and I could almost see the visual in my head, because the way he described the catering, because somebody brought my husband something, and Vince said, he's not going to eat that shit. He doesn't eat like that. You know, like, he get him a grilled chicken, get him what I'm eating. You know, it was just so cute. And he was describing just how Vince knew my husband so well. And I think the reason that they butted heads so much, and this is just me on the outside looking in, is they were just so much alike.
Yeah.
Like, they were so much alike, and my husband, it was like the errant teenager who had to go off and prove himself, or, you know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot of that dynamic that went back and forth. I'm just, there's a picture from of Triple H and Vince and my husband from that whole weekend before he passed away, and they're all laughing. Their heads are all thrown back, and they're, and like, I mean, we're talking about, like, I lost my husband and I should, the pictures that I have are the most treasured thing, but that's the picture for me. That's the picture of that whole weekend that I love the most, that I have in my room, because mm-hmm. it's like the three of them together had made this happen. They'd all come back together and they're laughing, and that it was just the best. It's just the best to me. So
there's a great picture. I think Triple H may have even sent it to me from that weekend, because we were talking about Warrior being back. And it's Vince and Warrior just yeah. in this giant embrace, both kind of laughing, and you know, because like you said, I mean, here's the thing about Vince, and I know Vince very, very well.
Of course.
But Vince loves bodybuilding and muscles. You know, you can tell just by looking at him.
Heck yeah.
So, I mean, and I can't think of anybody who was a better physical specimen in the history of the business. There might be a couple, but I can't think of them than Warrior. So wow. right there, you know, Vince is impressed by the physique of the Warrior. Then, of course, plus the huge amount of stardom that you know, it was a very symbiotic relationship where they both basically made a lot of money for each other.
Yeah.
And I think Vince always respected that about the Warrior.
Yeah, I think so too. I do. I think there was so much more love and respect than there was, but a lot of time wasted, boy. A lot of time, mm-hmm. A lot of time wasted, because that would have been, but you know what? Lessons are learned. Lessons are learned, and you don't want to waste time like that with other people, because it's just time, you'd never know, and time is so fleeting.
And that's the thing, and you mentioned kind of the destiny, and you mentioned your husband passing away. It's actually still blows my mind, as I'm sure it does to you as well. Just if you were going to write a script on the Ultimate Warrior's life, the fact that he was able to come back and have this reconciliation and then have this reintroduction for this whole new generation of people who might have heard the legend of the Warrior but never actually see him. Talk us a little bit about the last weekend of his life, and obviously the highest of highs, then
yeah.
you know, the lowest of lows. You know,
no, you're so right. I mean, you nailed that. Like, talk about, you know, and it just seemed like he was prophesizing in a way, because when he talks about storytellers, and now you and I, here we are, we're the storytellers mm-hmm. for the life. But we were so excited. I was scared, like, and I was nervous, because I have, you know, the two small girls, and if you can look back, there's no pictures of them, but there's one from them from behind, because we would go and put flags on veterans' graves, you know, at Memorial Day. And so mm-hmm. there's one picture ever that has ever been released of my two girls doing that. And otherwise, we kept them very private. They had just, like I said, small-town upbringing, very, very grounded, good, well-mannered, nice girls. I was scared. Like, I was nervous to bring them to something that's public like that. But I was so proud of him. And he was excited. Once he decided to do it, he was so excited about it. And excited to get up there and accept the award, so excited that Linda was going to be the one to induct him, and just this whole feeling that we were on the precipice of something new and something so exciting and wonderful and not nerve-wracking. It was like going mm-hmm. home. It was like thinking, I'm going to go home for Christmas and see everybody that I love, and just really being excited. So as we were coming to that, there was a lot of activity and a lot of things that were going to come and be done. The girls were introduced to wrestling for the first time, although they'd seen some of their dads. You know, obviously we'd done movie night and we'd shown them, and they thought that was very cool.
Oh, you showed them some of the matches?
Yes, heck yeah. Are you kidding? Like, so cool.
But you said they didn't like the long hair?
No, oh my God. And that's what please tell your friend, that was the reason he didn't have long hair, is because his daughter was like, if you ever grow, I'll never let you come in public with me again if your hair ever looks like that again.
Okay, I'll tell Zach for sure.
You let Zach know that there was a reason behind that, that his princesses demanded it and he would do anything for those girls. So, but the short hair was by design.
Okay.
but yeah, we were just all so excited. And my kids, like, I mean, talk about something is in your DNA. Maddie especially absolutely just took to that place. Like, you know, I grew up and my dad had a company picnic every year, you know, like, and he worked at Hewlett-Packard, right? So you get some, like, squirt guns and some popsicles and you think, oh, the company picnic is awesome. I mean, let's just be honest, like, WrestleMania as your parents' company picnic is pretty awesome.
That's right, yeah, totally.
My kids come, he's so excited because they're so excited too. And like I said, just the idea of seeing all of you guys again, the boys, meeting the next generation. And he had so much respect for these guys that are in there right now. I mean, so much respect. And these are guys that, like you were talking about, watched him and loved him. And Daniel Bryan coming up to him right before this huge match that he's going to go, he's at the show, you know? And
yeah.
Telling my husband what a fan he was of his. And, I mean, Cody Reynolds coming up and talking to him, oh, I was such a fan. Those kind of things, like, for him, that meant the world. That meant the world. And my kids being able to see it. So, and Sergeant Slaughter coming up and giving him a potato. And, like, you know, just cool moments. And, oh, I just, I wish I can feel it all in my stomach as I even tell you it all right now. Just the excitement and the anticipation for it's all going to be so good again. It's all going to be so awesome to be back. It's all, I'm going to kick this off and be an ambassador for WWE, a company that no matter if I fought with, I love and I'm proud to be a part of, and I'm proud that my family gets to see, you know, me do this. And his Hall of Fame speech was so beautiful and so poignant. And he got up there. I mean, he just looked to me when I see pictures and I sat in the audience and watched him. I mean, he just looked like old Hollywood, you know, it was just so cool to see him up there, and he had his say, but he didn't, you know, he wasn't off the rails. I thought he was so dignified and so awesome. And when he came out and did his speech on Monday Night Raw, and you know, he wasn't going to put on the face paint, and then he did, and everyone just went crazy. And there's pictures. I mean, God, I hate pictures. I just want to just burn them. But you can see how excited the girls are. Just crop me out. It's like he was so, because I rocked the 80s dude just for him. I was like, I'm gonna go back to the 80s. I'll do hair and makeup for you in the 80s. But he, like, just to watch my girls see him as Ultimate Warrior and watch the fans go, I mean, what a pop, and watch them go crazy. And like you said, this isn't even, like, this is decades later, and there's still this wildness. And the things that he said in that speech, it was just, oh, gosh, Chris. I mean, like, wow, how do you even look back on that? And then to have, you know, I was explaining this to, when we were leaving New Orleans, we were so tired but was so jazzed. We hadn't even gone to sleep, I don't think, and we laid in bed that night, and we had to get up at, like, really early the next morning, and we were laying in bed just like little kids talking about how awesome it all was and how excited the girls were and how excited he was and how proud I felt of him. And we got to the airport, and that I'll never forget that airport. And we walk in, and of course it's like WrestleMania, you know, airport. They just changed the name. And when we're getting ready to board the plane, everyone had come up, and he's always happy to sign, and I'm always happy to take pictures, you know, of them with him, make sure that they like the pictures. And I mean, he's gone through, I don't know, there's probably 100 people. It was like an impromptu signing was lined up, and they call us to board, and all those people in that terminal stood and clapped and, like, parted away, like, and we walked, you know, onto the plane, and they were all just cheering, and he sat down, and I'm a sap. I just, like, had to turn my face because it made me cry, and they walked by and patted him on the shoulder. You're my hero. Like, you're so awesome. I mean, that's the day he died, you know? Like, he died on that day, but I try really hard not to do this in public. All those people patted him and cheered him and told him how much he meant to them on the day that we lost him. And I mean, how good that must have felt. That hole that I know that he had must have been filled, or else he wouldn't have left this place. You know, like, if there was more work to be done, as much as I hate it, and I hate it every single day that I open my eyes, that he doesn't live on this earth. But he finished his mission. Like, he finished, and he made his way home, and the people who loved him got to tell him that they loved him, and he got to say the same thing in return. And when he passed away, he was just with me, and when he died, he died like a warrior. I mean, he wasn't like, he didn't crumble, like, he died like a warrior, and I knew he was gone, and it's a shock, like, but I felt him, and I just was, you know, like, no, absolutely not. But even in his death, he was a warrior. Even in his death, he was a warrior. And I think to myself, like you were saying, and like I think to all the time as a writer, there could not have been a better final weekend or a better final morning or a better final day. It was a worse day for me and the girls, but it was like, I think it was a crowning moment for him, and I couldn't have asked for more. I couldn't say thank you enough to all the people who were involved to make that so for my husband.
You just said so many poignant things there. you know, passing away like a warrior and kind of making amends with I mean, I've spoken to Jake Roberts, who's been on this show, and Hulk Hogan and a bunch of guys that Warrior made amends with, you know, seeing him backstage and seeing him around. It's so unbelievable, like you said. Had he still passed away when he did, and that all hadn't happened, like you mentioned, the mission wasn't finished. But it's almost, did you have any, like, in looking back, was there any indications or any issues that he was having that you thought, like was it just a total shock?
Yeah, it really was. And, you know, it's so weird, too, Chris, because his father and his grandfather both passed away at that same age, like, mm-hmm. within that same. So it's obviously a genetic, you know, heart issue, and something that I'm terrified with my own children.
Right.
But he lived so clean. We just had such a clean life. I mean, if you could have seen the diet that man kept until the day like that he passed, and the way, I mean, like I told you, I'm a cook, and I cooked for him. I would stack glass. He liked it in glass. So glass containers of chicken breast and, you know, his lean steak and then his salmon and then the vegetables that I would chop. And I loved doing it. Like, I loved taking care of him like that. I loved mm-hmm. it. And, you know, whatever. I am a total feminist. And my girls are hardcore. But you know what? Like, I chose in my life to be a mother and a wife, and I loved it. I treated it like it was my career in the way that I did. And so he was just, I mean, he exercised. That man had abs until, you know, that day. Mm-hmm. You know, the day that he passed away, his body was his temple, and he treated it so beautifully. So that is something that I would just tell everybody. If you have heart conditions in your family, you need to be on top of that all the time, all the time. And we had no indication of that, none at all. You know, we were all tired at the end, but I just thought we were tired.
Is it one of those things, like, if he would have gone for a yearly heart checkup or something, that it could have been avoided? Or
I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean, I asked because, you know, I'm when it all happened, everything's swirling through your mind, and I'm so little, and like, as I was trying to help him, I kept thinking, I'm just too small. I can't do what needs doing. You know, like with mm-hmm. I was blaming myself in the, you know, emergency room, and the no, it was like like he did not ever, when he died, and when I say that, like a warrior, and I said it some on the DVD, I think, like, it was like as fast as his run to the ring, he was gone.
Mm-hmm.
He was gone, and they told me no. It was so, his heart attack was so massive and so instantaneous, there was nothing that could have been done. I don't know, though. I don't know medically, and I don't want to pretend, because that isn't...
Sure.
If we'd gone and found something, could we have... But all those things said, and you do, when somebody dies, you think, what could I have done? Like, if we had done this, and you start bargaining, that was never the chapter that was going to be written. This was how it happened. And so, but I would tell any of your listeners to go and get checked out, because it is devastating to lose somebody mm-hmm. in that kind of a way. It is devastating to lose somebody in any kind of a way. So, I mean, if we can be somewhat of a public service and tell people, if you have that runs in your family, to go and get that checked, I think that's obviously, you know, such
right.
an outcome that we could have here.
Words of wisdom to take the warning. But
yeah.
And you just, so this is like a pure, I mean, talking once again about the warrior and all that he stood for and his philosophy, this is destiny. I mean, it's God's will,
yeah.
and that's just the way it was. And it's so fitting for what the warrior preached, and even what he said in his final promo at Raw. There were some things that he said in there where you're like,
yeah.
I had a couple friends that have passed away over the years, and they've said things that you look back on. You're like, I wonder somehow deep inside if something clicked that they knew. You know, you never know with that sort of thing. But he said a couple things in his
yeah.
speech that were very prophetic for what happened just a day later.
I know, Chris. I mean, I think the same exact thing. And I think, like, what you just said, and I've never had somebody, like, I've had people who are elderly past that I loved, of course, and my granddaddy, like, that's how I knew that there were good men in the world, because my granddaddy was such a stellar man, and he never called on the telephone, never, ever. Like, mm-hmm. that was just, he was a Southern man, and he just didn't get on the telephone. That was a waste of time. He'd rather be out and milking his cows and walking his pasture land, and but he called me in college. And then we lost him 2 days later. There's something in your spirit. I don't think there's anything conscious. I don't think there's anything that you know.
Mm-hmm.
I do think, though, that there's something in your spirit that knows that you're, I don't know, not winding down. I don't know, but I do look back on my husband in a different way sometimes now, and I recognize the impatience that was this frenetic energy that was him. And I think that he knew he had to cram it all, not on a level like you and I are talking right now, but on some level in his spirit that knew, I've got to cram it all in, like mm-hmm. I've got to make it all happen, I've got to. So some of what would be annoying to somebody else or his lack of patience, I think he just on some level knew he didn't have all the time in the world, the luxury of time that some of the rest of us do. And so he did just make it about intensity and packing it all into his gear bag every single day.
Mm-hmm. Emotional words from Dana Warrior, and we'll be right back with her. But first, let's talk about DraftKings, okay? If you got Marcus Mariota as the starting quarterback in your season-long fantasy football league, then you're celebrating today. You're also celebrating if you had Keenan Allen as one of your wide receivers, celebrating today. He tied a San Diego Chargers franchise record for most receptions in a single game, 15. That's insane, yeah. What you're not celebrating, though, is the fact that you have to wait until week 16 to get paid. Womp, womp. And you'll only get paid if your players keep performing. Womp, womp. Good thing there's a whole new way to play fantasy football. There's 1 week fantasy football at DraftKings.com. You can play 1 week fantasy football right now and win some instant cash by Sunday. If you use my promo code Y2J, you can play it for free. That's right, playing fantasy football at DraftKings.com. This is a billion-dollar industry. Everybody's into this. You need to give it a try. DraftKings means no season-long commitments. You aren't stuck with the same players week after week. You don't have to worry about injuries or suspensions or bye weeks. All you have to do is worry about how you're going to spend your winnings, man. You're going to make that money and never give it up. And get this, DraftKings is crowning a new millionaire every week this season. Every single week. Are you crazy? How much money do they have to spend? A lot, because like I said, this is a multi-billion-dollar industry. You could turn your love of football into a life-changing payday. I'm telling you what, DraftKings.com is fantasy football on demand, just like the Talk is Jericho podcast. You play it when you want. You listen when you want. You do it where you want and with the players you want. Easy to play at DraftKings.com. You just pick up your players, pile up the points, and pick up your cash. That's it. So hurry to DraftKings.com now and use my promo code Y2J to play for free for a shot at $1 million in this week's Millionaire Maker event. Enter Y2J for free entry only at DraftKings.com. This isn't fantasy as usual. This is DraftKings. Welcome to the big time, baby. All right, Dana Warrior, wife of the late great Ultimate Warrior, is still on the line. She's been sharing the story of her husband's last week and what the Hall of Fame and Raw appearance meant to him and the family. She's ready to share details of the new book and some of his favorite matches. But first, I want to share another Uber story with you guys. I was in Canada on Friday, Edmonton, for the first night of the Y2J WWE Fall Tour. And guess what I used? That's right, I used Uber. They have Uber up in Edmonton. And guess what the driver told me after I got in the car? I don't think I need to tell you this again, but I will. Turns out every time I hear the same thing, every time I use Uber, the driver at Edmonton told me he loves driving with Uber because he's making great cash Ola. He's got a full-time gig on top of driving with Uber, but he wanted to make a little money so he could take a vacation over the holidays and signed up to drive with Uber. Loves the extra money he's making. He loves being able to make his own hours. He loves being his own boss. He says he drives for a couple hours after his day job and then drives a little bit on Saturday nights. He's making good money doing it part-time. You can do this too. It's very easy to sign up to drive with Uber. All you need is a car and a license. You got both those things, you can be a driver with Uber. If you want flexible work hours, doing a job that will pay you good money, you need to drive with Uber. If you got kids, you can work around their schedules. If you're a student, you can drive in between classes. If you're saving up for a vacation or a wedding or whatever, drive with Uber. You just open the app whenever you want to work, then drive for a few hours or you'll give a few rides. It's completely up to you. Drive as much or as little as you want. But right now is prime time to cash in driving with Uber. You're going to thank me for telling you how to get paid every week. And who knows, I could be the one getting in your car when you drive with Uber. If you're up at Edmonton, maybe you'll stop on the side of the road at Timmy Hortons, and I will be there jumping in and have a coffee with you. You never know. You got a car? Check. You got a licenzio? Check. Put them both to work for you and start earning serious life-changing money. And do that today. All right, back with Dana Warrior.
Well, let's talk about something else that he said at his actual induction speech, where he said there should be an award every year for the Hall of Fame for the behind the scenes and the people that aren't as well known. And that's basically exactly what's happened with the annual Warrior Award now at the WWE Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, like, okay, I'm going to try. I really do try because no one likes to listen to a blubbering person. But
you're doing great, by the way. We've talked about some heavy stuff. You're doing amazing.
I try because I like that. My pillow at night, I can talk and I can do that kind of stuff, but no one needs to hear me sobbing, and I need to be tough, like, to get through all of it. But that Warrior Award, like, breathed new life into me. Mm. That was like a call to arms for something that was greater than my grief and greater than what I had to tackle, like, moving forward, because there was a whole lot of stuff in his death that, you know, I had to step into, and it wasn't necessarily who I've always been. And so when I got the call, Indiana was competing up in Denver. She's an amazing ballerina and ballet competition, and she was up there at YAGP, and I got a text from Steph, who has like been an amazing support system.
That's Stephanie McMahon?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, holy mackerel. I wish that my husband had known her. I wish that, because he, like, for all of his craziness, women, he was raised by a single mom. He's surrounded by women in our house. Linda McMahon, the reason he chose her is because he has so much reverence for
That's
her.
Right. Yeah. It was kind of an interesting choice, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that was sincerely who he wanted to induct him. And I wish that he knew Stephanie because he would have just loved her. You know, he would have just loved her. But she sent me a text, you know, do you have a minute to talk, is now a good time? And I said, absolutely, sure. And so I stepped out of what was going on with Indy's ballet, and I remember exactly where I was, around the corner of this hotel, and she told me about the Warrior Award, and that they wanted to do this award for him each year. And then she told me about Connor and that he would be the inaugural recipient, and I mean, I was so overwhelmed by what that would mean to remember my husband like that, and like so honored that to have that named for him, because that's something that'll just go down in tradition. Like when Maddie, my younger one, you know, claws her way to the top, they'll still be in the wrestling world, they'll still be the Warrior Award, and that'll be for her daddy. Like that is just, when you talk about cool legacies, that's something that you leave behind, because it means something not just for my husband. It's not an ego thing, it's a heart thing. It's something that's so incredibly meaningful. And then to have Connor be the recipient of it, come on, Chris. I mean, there's nothing like, as much hurt and devastation as it is to lose my happily ever after that I had with my husband, to know Steve and Connor, and for him to lose his once upon a time, you know, like that broke my heart and made me want to step up and do something as best as I possibly could for that little boy and for that little boy's legacy. So it just, they intertwined, that meant so much to me, and I will never in my life feel more honored than I felt at the moment that she told me that they were going to do that, and then the weeks that passed, and then the actual induction of Connor. Boy, that was just, that's along with getting married to my husband and the birth of my children, that meant the most to me.
One of the biggest things, and for those who don't know, Connor is a huge WWE fan, 8-year-old boy that died of cancer. So to honor Connor and also honor Warrior, it was a perfect first induction for this Warrior Award. Now, is this going to be an annual thing?
Yeah, I mean, that's my understanding.
That's amazing. I mean, like you said, like out of all the darkness that surrounded that, this, that's something that's very, you can't take that away. It'll last forever.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I feel like that. And, you know, the friend, like Connor's father, Steve, I really, I was honored to meet him, and we've become really good friends. We check on one another, you know, and like I said, I can't even fathom what it is to lose a child. I can't even fathom that. Like, whenever people tell me I'm brave or like this, I just feel like, no, don't ever credit me with that. Like, that's just putting my feet on the floor every single morning and saying, what can I do to make you proud today? Like, the fact that anybody, what Steve did and got up there and spoke of Connor and his love, and that he carries on as just such a dignified man, I'm in awe. I'm in awe. I really am.
Now, did Warrior actually mention, when he was talking about some behind-the-scenes guy, did he actually mention the name Jimmy Miranda?
Yes, he did. Yeah, and I hope that comes forward some way, because I called his sister at one point because she had written me a beautiful letter, and I called and had the opportunity to talk to her because he did. He very specifically mentioned him.
Yeah, and once again, Jimmy Miranda, he's kind of like a legendary behind-the-scenes guy. He was the head of merchandise who passed away, I believe, of AIDS years ago, probably in 2000, 2001. But everybody that's from that era, 80s, 90s, early 2000s, always thinks fondly of Jimmy Miranda, and he's kind of a forgotten guy in the scene. So when Warrior mentioned his name, I was like, yeah, that would be great. I'd love to see Jimmy get that award one year, hopefully.
Oh, I love that. I love that you remember that, and I love that you speak it, Chris, because it's like all these people who make the show happen are the real heroes. And
yeah.
I think that that's what my husband, I love that about my husband. Like, I'm really proud.
Who would
really
say that?
Proud.
Like, who would go up there after being gone from the company for 15 years and mention a little-known merchandise guy? Like, that showed a lot of character in Warrior's case.
I'm so glad that, thank you so much for, like, just even, like, you're a good dude that you even know, like, that's what you should do. Those are the people
yes.
who made you what you were, and, like, that is who my husband was. Like, people want to paint a picture sometimes, and you know what? I get it. Like, it's more fun to say this, or it's more fun to say that, and I blow it off, but that is who my husband was. That like, that little part of his speech, and he meant it. Like, he had thought about that guy, and when I had the opportunity to speak to his sister, after everything had happened, and like, they still, like, they grieve. Like, you don't stop grieving. You don't move on. You move forward, and you must move forward, or else you give up your life. And who, you're not supposed to do that. That's not what you're supposed, that's not the mission you have here. You're supposed to complete your mission. And so that's what I tell my girls every day. That's what I tell myself. And that's, I want to tell others that. I want to inspire others, no matter how crappy it feels right now. Keep moving forward. And that's what, you know, we all, anybody who's ever lost somebody the way that Jimmy was taken from us, the way that my husband, the way that Connor, we all, if we're alive, if you're taking breath, then you better be completing your mission.
Mm-hmm, that's exactly right. And speaking of the mission, as we wind down here, the new book is called Ultimate Warrior, A Life Lived Forever.
Yes.
Is this something that you had a hand in writing? Did you help write this?
Yes. Yeah. Well,
'cause you mentioned you're a writer.
Yeah, I am a writer, and this was more of a collaboration of his time, his career within the ring.
Mm-hmm.
But some of it was his personal life, and so that is what I contributed.
Okay.
Steve Wilton contributed with so much of the things that were going on when he was away from the business. It really is a very beautiful whole picture of his life in and outside of the ring, but so much about, you know, Ultimate Warrior and those really epic matches and the guys that he worked with and the stories that they can tell and the contributions by, you know, people who he worked with most. But so I do the personal side of it and the pictures, the photographs from our era together, but there's so much more. It's huge, and I can't wait to see it in person because I have not yet seen it. So that's exciting.
Yeah, when you get that first box of books and open it up and hold it in your hand, it's like,
I don't even know. I don't even know. That's going to be pretty incredible because it was a dream of his, and I want as much as I can. Every dream that didn't get finished while he was here, I want to
make reality
that mission for him too.
Did you interview a lot of the people that he worked with? Is that how you got some of the stories?
No, I didn't. That was not that WWE. I did the.
But that's what I mean. Did WWE for the book go and interview these guys? Yeah.
Yeah, and did an incredible job. Everything that I've read, I'm like, I'm so impressed with that. I learned things that I didn't even know about him. So it's really, really cool. WWE did a beautiful job. It took some prodding for me to want to do this project. The DVD I wanted to do to prove the other one wrong. This one was a little bit scarier for me because it's more personal because I am a writer. So and to delve into that, when it comes to written word, that's where my heart, you know, lies. So I was a little bit reticent, but I was, again, pulled along and said, come on, let's do this project. It's going to be awesome. And, oh, my heavens, like, I couldn't be more excited about the launch of it. I couldn't be more excited about it getting out and getting in the hands of his Legion of Warriors because they're going to love it.
Did you mention earlier when you talked about Madigan, when she gets to the top of the wrestling world, does she want to be in the WWE? Does she want to be a diva?
And when I said she's going to start at the bottom, because that's one thing that I've told my children, like, you don't get any free ride. Whatever it is that you girls want to do in your life, like, you are going to start at the bottom and you're going to claw your way to the top. That was one thing Warrior loved about Vince, that Shane used to put up the
ring. Yeah, the ring, that's right,
like,
yeah.
And that's how we raised our girls. Like,
Stephanie worked at the answering phones in the front lobby of Titan Towers.
Is that the cool? coolest thing in the whole. And you know what? You can tell when you meet those kids. Stephanie McMahon is like, I mean, that is a woman. She's younger than me, and I admire her. She has learned how to be who she is through hard work, and that's. I mean, I've raised my kids that way, and I can see it in their kids as well. You don't get any free passes, but Maddie. So you know, she's so cute because she'll come to the gym with me, and that kid can train. She just has it in her body. She got in the ring with Natty a little bit as well, and she's just got a little sparkle and a little glint in her eye. And as much as like her dad was a good guy, I don't know. I'm not sure if I have a good guy or a bad guy on my hands.
How old is she?
She's 12 and a half.
And, she's 12.
Yeah, she's like, it's really, really cute. Because the ones they love are like Dolph Ziggler and Sin Cara and all the bad guys. My kids love the bad guys. I don't know if I should say that, but they do. They like all the heels. So, she has it in her blood that's the path she's going to take. So I said, well, you know what? You don't get to just run to the ring and do your dad's gimmick. He did that better than anybody else. So you're going to have to establish your own. And I'm pretty sure she will.
Last question. Yeah. You mentioned that you used to watch matches with Warrior and he would show his girls matches once in a while. Was there a match that he felt was his favorite? Do you know?
Oh, gosh. I think he loved working with Randy. I think Randy was his heart. I mean, to be honest with you, when I think about those two up in heaven together, it makes me smile. Like he really did just adore Randy. And when Randy died, that was really a sad day. And I remember him and when he lost.
Yeah, he was
Owen.
Pretty close to Owen Hart as well, right?
Oh, he loved Owen. I mean, I remember, you know, and I've never said this publicly, but I remember him sitting at our counter when Owen passed, and I remember we had this red tile counter, and I can remember his elbows and just him being so big and his big old head in his hands and just his big shoulders shaking. He was so sad, you know, like to lose Owen and Randy too. But his work with Randy, he absolutely loved that. And my girl's favorite work is with him and Undertaker.
Oh.
We love Undertaker. We're cheering for Undertaker. We're so excited. We just know Taker's going to take it back. But he really did. I think that those were his two favorite guys. Well, Andre, though, he loved Andre too. When he'd talk about Andre, he would laugh so uproariously. So, yeah, I mean, sure, there's always these major matches that everybody remembers and they point to. But I think working with Randy and was his very, very favorite.
I saw him work with Andre the Giant in Winnipeg, and he beat him in 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, Warrior's so good. He beat Andre the Giant in 30 seconds. That's how tough he is.
But can I tell you, Chris, he would talk about how what an incredible man Andre was and what a generous, like, person to work with that he was. And I know that, like, people would say that this or that about my husband. It wasn't true. He would bring, there was a certain bottle of, I don't remember if it was scotch, what it was. There was a certain bottle of something, and every single town, he would bring it to say thank you for being so generous as Andre the Giant was to work with. I mean, to let somebody that amazing and legendary, to let a younger guy beat him in 30 seconds is a pretty good guy to work with. And my husband did not escape him.
Yeah, he didn't take it lightly.
Not at all.
Yeah. Mrs. Warrior, it's been a pleasure talking to you, and you're doing a great job of keeping the legacy of the Ultimate Warrior alive. And you're awesome. It was so good to talk to you. Thank you.
Chris, you were so much fun, and sometime we're going to get together and we're going to exchange playlists, because I know that you probably have awesome stuff to put on my...
The playlist, and also we got to talk about the Warrior Willpower crushing the cookie smelling the
you
smelling
and I
routine.
Are in business together.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chris. Take care.
Thanks to Dana. So great and so happy, too. She's really infectious, made me laugh, made me smile. You can really hear how much she loves the Warrior, how dedicated she is to keeping his legacy alive for the fans, for herself, and most importantly, for their two daughters. And the new book she was talking about is Ultimate Warrior, A Life Lived Forever, The Legend of a WWE Hero, available now. You get that on Amazon. You know where to do that. You do that through my sponsors. We'll get to that in a bit. This is the story of the Warrior's life, not just in the WWE, but you'll get that in full detail, but loaded with pictures that span his entire career and his life outside the ring. Dana contributed a lot of life stories and photos. It's a great book, and if you do get it, go on Amazon. Please use the Talk Is Jericho links to do that. Go to podcast1.com, click on the support or show sponsors banner at the top of the page, then hit the Talk Is Jericho button. All my Amazon links are right there, and you can go buy the Ultimate Warrior book or buy Book of Souls. from Iron Maiden, the new Iron Maiden record, or buy Repentless, the new Slayer record, or buy Kiss Alive, the new Kiss record, and listen to all of those guests on Talk is Jericho over the last four shows. Dana Warrior, Paul Stanley, Kerry King, and Bruce Dickinson. What more do you want? It's metal. It's wrestling. You know, what more do you want to hear? I'll tell you what more you want to hear. You want to see Chris Jericho on the road? The Y2J WWE Fall Tour is underway. Continues September 25th in Toronto, 26th Syracuse, 27th Rochester. October 2nd is Trenton. October 3rd, the Y2J 25th anniversary of being in the wrestling business at Madison Square Garden. Super stoked for that. Jericho versus Owens, also going to be available on the WWE Network. I want you to check that out. And then after that, I'm done in the States. Then we go over to Saudi Arabia, October 8, 9, and 10. Then Mexico, 16, 17, 18. And then WWE is done for a while. Back out with Fozzy. October 30th, we're rocking the Kiss Cruise with Kiss, with Steel Panther. Then we're doing the Cinderblock Party Tour, taking it back to the UK and Europe with Nonpoint and Sumo Psycho. Go to FozzyRock.com for all of those dates through the UK, through Europe. There's Germany, Luxembourg. I believe there's a Switzerland. There's France. There's Austria. Go check out FozzyRock.com. And if you want to come meet me, check out a Fozzy Rock VIP package. I will be at every single one of them. I'll meet all of you guys, and we'll have a great, great, great time. All right. Thanks to you for listening to the show for twice a week for free. Thanks to my great sponsors, DDP Yoga. Go to ddpyoga.com/Jericho. Get a great deal on DDP's amazing life-altering program. DraftKings, use the promo code Y2J to play for free. SeatGeek, use the promo code ChrisJ to get a $20 rebate off your first purchase of tickets for any event. Don't forget Invoice2Go. I got to check that out as soon as I'm done this show. Use the promo code Y2J to get Invoice2Go for as little as $9.99 a year. That's super cheap. Of course, there's Uber. Then there's Amazon. Don't forget, anything that you buy on Amazon, they'll kick back a couple bucks to keep this show rolling. The links are all at podcastone.com. Click on the support our show sponsors banner at the top of the page. Then hit the Talk is Jericho button. We have links for the USA, the UK, and the Canada A. All right. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks to Dana Warrior. We'll see you on Friday. Until then, in the meantime and in between time, stay hard, stay hungry, peace, love, and hugs. And on Friday, we got Playboy Playmate and podcast host extraordinaire Jessa Hinton is here. She is hilarious. Plus, wise cousin Chad talks about our experiences with Bruce Dickinson and Axl Rose. So much coming up on Friday. We will see you then. And a big, don't forget, say it with me now. Yeah, boy.
You can download new episodes of Talk is Jericho every Wednesday and Friday at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
Stay tuned for the latest AP News headlines from Podcast One right after this.
Geico presents sharing versus oversharing. Way early this morning, Brad Higdon shared a major spoiler alert from everyone's favorite hit show, sad emojis to express his feelings about the plot twist, and a playlist he made to drown out his sorrows? Dude, oversharing alert. Brad, Geico has something worth sharing with those who haven't befriended you. Like how you could save hundreds on your car insurance at geico.com. So stop moping about the post-apocalyptic world and start saving in the real world. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Okay, Kevin, for the grand prize of $1 million, what color is the White House?
I know this.
5 seconds.
Oh, switching to Geico could save you a bunch of money on car insurance?
Okay. Judges? That's true, Kevin. They'll allow it. Congratulations. You're a winner.
Woo! Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
It's your last chance to get great holiday savings at Guitar Center. Like a Simmons SD550 electronic drum kit, just $399. Add your choice of AKG K52 headphones or a Shure SM48 mic, each just $39. Plus, the newest and hottest guitars, drums, keys, and more. Exclusive gear you can't get anywhere else. Special financing, lessons for the beginner on your list, and gift cards. The perfect present for every musician. So hurry in and find your sound at Guitar Center.
Trump's victory. I'm Ed Donahue with an AP News Minute.
It's always a lot of fun when you win. If you work hard and lose, that's not acceptable.
At the White House, President Trump welcomed Republicans from the House and the Senate who passed a bill overhauling the tax code. The president says the middle class will be seeing the effects of this bill very soon.
The typical family of four earning $75,000 will see an income tax cut of more than $2,000. They're going to have $2,000, and that's in my opinion, going to be less than the average. You're going to have a lot more than that.
The tax overhaul bill also includes a corporate tax cut.
We have companies pouring back into our country, and that means jobs, and it means really the formation of new, young, beautiful, strong companies.
Democrats have criticized the tax package as a giveaway to corporations and the rich. The tax cuts for businesses are permanent under this tax bill, but reductions for individuals and families will expire after a decade. I'm Ed Donahue.